We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Blazuchowski, I'd like to start by asking you about the troubled rollout of UHIP, the United Health Infrastructure Project, the $364 million IT system for administering human service benefits. I think you share a similar Democratic philosophy with Governor Raimondo that government should be a force for good in people's lives. But as we've seen, this has been a very troubled rollout. What's your explanation for why this has gone wrong?
I don't know how this has gone wrong. I expect the administration to continue to answer questions about that. But I want to point out the yeoman's work that Oversight Committee Chairman Pat Serpa has done and has really found her footing as chairman of that committee looking at this issue. And I don't expect that the House will stop working to see what exactly has happened that has caused this problem with UHIP. I think she's done a tremendous job, and she'll continue asking the tough questions to the administration.
Let's switch gears before we go to Scott. There's usually a sense of a fresh start with each new legislative session. Last year's session ended with an all-night marathon and kind of some bad feeling. And it seems now there are conflicting priorities between the House and the Senate, and perhaps some of that bad feeling is carried over. Are you concerned about that?
No, I don't think so. There's always going to be a push and pull between the two branches of our legislature and the governor's office when it comes to legislative priorities. But these are professionals that have been elected by the people to do the job of serving the public. And I expect that any personal differences get put aside to promote the best interest of the public and the issues that are most important to everyday Rhode Islanders who are just struggling to get by, put food on the table, support their families, and allow their kids to have a better, brighter future.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, we have this never-ending dialogue in Rhode Island about schools, and that's probably a good thing. But what is the place of charter schools? Should we be allowing Mayoral Academy and this whole idea that's planned for Providence that the mayor's a little bit skeptical of? How do you feel?
We, as the province delegation, there were 14 of us that signed on to a letter that supported the mayor resisting the efforts of Achievement First to fully expand. We, as the province delegation, work very hard every year to expand the school funding from the state to the city. And over the last 6 years, we've seen a 27% increase in that funding to $235 million. And that is not always an easy fight. Although there are 14 members from the province delegation in the House, there are another 61 that are not from Providence. And so we always have to fight for that money. And to the extent that it's going to a two-track parallel system, it damages our ability to continue that fight when we have our colleagues coming up and saying, well, now you have two school systems that we're funding. How can we continue to provide you with the money that we desperately need to continue to provide a good education, a high-quality education to Providence residents?
The problem is, though, we're spending more money, but we're not seeing that really in test results necessarily. What do you make of that?
Well, I think Superintendent Marr has said that they are making progress step by step in the city of Providence.
Look, seems slow.
It is a process, but I'll tell you, I have a 3-year-old and a 9-day-old, and I intend on having my children go to the Providence public school system, and I am 100% committed to make sure that my children can have a high quality education in our public school system. And I don't see how diverting much needed revenue away from the public system to a separate system, a parallel system, helps the majority of Providence school children get the high quality education that they deserve.
Do you support creating driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants?
Yes, I've supported that for years now. I think it's a public safety issue. I think if you get into a car accident with someone who is an undocumented worker, you want to be sure that they have a driver's license, that they have insurance, that they can pay for the damage to your car. And I think that when explained in that sense of the public safety issue, which is important, I think Rhode Islanders respond to it. So I'm supportive of that issue.
But Speaker Mattiello opposes the measure, and it seems like the prospects for that becoming passing through the General Assembly are very unlikely.
Well, I know the Speaker and I have healthy disagreements about lots of things. I'm honored to be a member of his legislative leadership team, and part of that is having very vigorous dialogue about public policy. Over the last 2 years, the Progressive Caucus has achieved significant victories on tip minimum wage, on the minimum wage, on expanding and renewable energy, on passing the ethics oversight over the General Assembly, things that have been a priority to us. I will continue to voice my concerns, and we will have a healthy dialogue.
And yet the minimum wage is still $1.40 an hour below Massachusetts.
I'm with you on that. I believe that we can need to fight for the $15 minimum wage that's happening across the country. There are a number of states that now have their minimum wage between $12 and $15 an hour, including Maine in New York. We in Rhode Island will continue that fight going forward for to get to the $15 minimum wage step by step.
We're talking here with State Representative Chris Plaszczuski, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Representative, but I believe you did not participate in a vote last year when the House voted to approve a stronger concealed carry measure for firearms. Why did you miss that vote?
I do not support that provision of the concealed carry.
Am I correct that you did that you missed the vote?
I did not vote on that bill, but I do not support it and would vote against it.
Why did you miss the vote?
There are a number of different things that we're doing up there in the legislature from time to time. I think I'm one of the people that gets almost all of my votes. I must have been out of the room for that. But I don't support it and would vote against it.
A question on a different vote. In 2013, you spoke on the House floor in support of a measure to create stronger penalties for people who perpetrate graffiti. Civil libertarians oppose this. They say it's wrong to create a felony conviction on third offense and that it puts people on a track to prison. Why did a progressive like you support that measure?
Well, I heard from my constituents on this issue. So I represent Fox Point, Wayland Square, downtown Providence, parts of the South Side and parts of Smith Hill. I heard from my constituents on the concern about graffiti in the neighborhood. So that was a bill that I supported based on the concern in our neighborhood about graffiti. That has been an issue both in Providence and around the state, but in particular, My constituents voiced their concern about this issue, so I was proud to support that to help to eliminate graffiti in our city.
Given the city's dire economic problems with the pension system, it's been suggested by some that we consider in Providence a bankruptcy, an insolvency. Do you support that?
At the state level, we have continued to try to support the city of Providence, both through aid, and now we hope to eliminate the car tax, which will be a substantial bump to the city of Providence. We have been doing that over the years, ever since I was elected. The city has to continue to deal with its economic issues. And we at the state level will continue day in and day out to fight for the city of Providence.
Do you have any responsibility at the state level for the Providence pension problems? Anything you can do?
Well, what we have done is continue to support the city by expanding education aid over the last 6 years, expanding aid for English language learners, expanding aid for disadvantaged children. These are the things that we've continued to do, which has allowed the city not to expand its contribution over the last 6 years, I believe, to the school budget. But the city needs to take control of this situation and address these very serious issues.
We're almost out of time here, Representative, but we see in how Massachusetts is slowing down the process to begin retail sales of marijuana after legalizing the drug. What do you expect to happen this year in the House with marijuana? Do you think this is the year when the House will legalize marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, I support taxing and regulating marijuana like alcohol. I think it makes sense. Look at how many Rhode Islanders live within a 20-minute drive of the Massachusetts border. It is coming. So either Rhode Island takes control of the issue and does it their own way, or we have it the Massachusetts way within a few minutes without the revenue to join with the fact that we will have legalized marijuana right at our border.
Is this the year for legalization in the House?
I support it, but there are two branches of the legislature and a governor's office, so we'll see where it goes.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Representative Chris Plaszczuski, a Providence Democrat.
Thank you.